As Kate came down the steps from her house, she noticed that the temperature had dropped considerably. The clouds sat heavily on the land and lowered at it. Thor set off briskly in the direction of the park, and Kate trotted along in his wake. As he strode along, an extraordinary figure on the streets of Primrose Hill, Kate could not help but notice that he had been right. They passed three different people on the way, and she saw distinctly how their eyes avoided looking at him, even as they had to make allowance for his great bulk as he passed them. He was not invisible, far from it. He simply didn't fit. The park was closed for the night, but Thor leapt quickly over the spiked railings and then lifted her over in turn, as lightly as if she had been a bunch of flowers. The grass was damp and mushy, but still worked its magic on city feet. Kate did what she always did when entering the park, which was to bob down and put the flats of her hands down on the ground for a moment. She had never quite worked out why she did this, and often she would adjust a shoe or pick up a piece of litter as a pretext for the movement. But all she really wanted was to feel the grass and the wet earth on her palms. The park, from this viewpoint, was simply a dark shoulder that rose up before them, obscuring itself. They mounted the hill and stood on the top of it, looking over the darkness of the rest of the park to where it shaded off into the hazy light of the heart of London, which lay to the south. Ugly towers and blocks stuck yobbishly up out of the skyline, dominating the park, the sky, and the city. A cold, damp wind moved across the park, flicking at it from time to time like the tail of a dark and broody horse. There was an unsettled, edgy quality to it. In fact, the night sky seemed to Kate to be like a train of restless, irritable horses, their traces flapping and slapping in the wind. It also seemed to her as if the traces all radiated loosely from a single centre, and that the centre was very close by her. She reprimanded herself for absurd suggestibility, but nevertheless it still seemed that all the weather was gathered and circling around them, waiting on them. Thor once more drew out his hammer and held it before him in the thoughtful and abstracted manner she had seen a few minutes before in her flat. He frowned and seemed to be picking tiny invisible pieces of dust off it. It was a little like a chimpanzee grooming its mate, or that was it. The comparison was extraordinary, but it explained why she had tensed herself so watchfully when last he had done it. It was like Jimmy Connors minutely adjusting the strings of his racket before preparing to serve. He looked up sharply once again, drew his arm back, turned fully once, twice, three times, twisting his heels heavily in the mud, and then hurled his hammer with astonishing force up to the heavens. It vanished almost instantly into the murky haze of the sky. Dark flashes sparked deep within the clouds, tracking its path in a long parabola through the night. At the furthest extent of the parabola, it swung down out of the clouds, a tiny, distant pinpoint, moving slowly now, gathering and redirecting its momentum for the return flight. Kate watched, breathless, as the speck crept behind the dome of St. Paul's. It then seemed almost as if it had halted altogether, hanging silently and improbably in the air, before gradually beginning to increase microscopically in size as it accelerated back towards them. Then, as it returned, it swung aside in its path, no longer describing a simple parabola, but following instead a new path, which seemed to lie along the perimeter of a gigantic Möbius strip, which took it around the other side of the telecom tower. Then suddenly, it was swinging back in a path directly towards them, hurtling out of the night with impossible weight and speed like a piston in a shaft of light. Kate swayed and nearly dropped in a dead faint out of its path when Thor stepped forward and caught it with a grunt. The jolt of it sent a single heavy shudder down into the earth, and then the thing was resting quietly in Thor's grip. His arm quivered slightly and was still. Kate felt quite dizzy. She didn't know exactly what it was that had just happened, but she felt pretty damn certain that it was the sort of experience that her mother would not have approved of on a first date. "Is this all part of what we have to do to go to Asgard?" she said. "Or are you just fooling around?" "We will go to Asgard now," he said. At that moment he raised his hand as if to pluck an apple. But instead of plucking, he made a tiny, sharp turning movement. The effect was as if he had twisted the entire world through a billionth part of a billionth part of a degree. Everything shifted, was for a moment minutely out of focus, and then snapped back again, as a suddenly different world. This world was a much darker one, and colder still. A bitter, putrid wind blew sharply, and made every breath gag in the throat. The ground beneath their feet was no longer the soft, muddy grass of the hill, but a foul-smelling, oozing slush. Darkness lay over all the horizon, with a few small, exceptional fires dotted here and there in the distance, and one great blaze of light, about a mile and a half away to the southeast. Here, great fantastical towers stabbed at the night. Huge pinnacles and turrets flickered in the firelight that surged from 1,000 windows. It was an edifice that mocked reason, ridiculed reality, and jeered wildly at the night. "My father's palace," said Thor, "the great hall of Valhalla, where we must go." It was just on the tip of Kate's tongue to say that something about the place was oddly familiar, when the sound of horses' hooves pounding through the mud came to them on the wind. At a distance, between where they stood and the great hall of Valhalla, a small number of flickering torches could be seen jolting towards them. Thor once more studied the head of his hammer with interest, brushed it with his forefinger, and then rubbed it with his thumb. Then slowly he looked up. Again he twisted round once, then twice, and a third time, and then hurled the missile into the sky. This time, however, he continued to hold on to its shaft with his right hand, while with his left he held Kate's waist in his grasp.